Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Happy Thanksgiving, you two.
Hi, you.
Good to see you, Steve. Johnny.
You too. The happiest man on Facebook.
Well, I have a lot to be happy about and thankful for. And I don't normally get to see you two, so it's really nice to see you almost in person.
Well, can I just say that I have apartment envy because I follow Vic on Facebook and he's put up pictures. This is the view from my bedroom. Vic, come on, man. You're killing me.
And the rest of us peons are saying, what the?
I'm looking at an alley and you have this stunning view.
You know, my first apartment in Chicago was a garden apartment, so I'm staring at people's feet as they go by.
Yes.
And I've moved on up. This apartment. It's got great views. New
Good
East Side.
For you.
Love it.
It's awesome.
Thanks.
Well, happy Thanksgiving. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And some people have been asking, when did you say you'd be back after today? Well, we're going to be back here New Year's Eve following the Blackhawks game, which, according to Mark, should be somewhere around
midnight.
The bewitching hour of midnight.
Yes, and we will be streaming live the 11 o'clock hour, which means it's going to be kind of like cable. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
From 11 to 12, and then we'll go live on the radio as soon as the game is over with. So join us. Remember, cheap date, life after dark, New Year's Eve party means no cover charge, no dress code. You can eat whatever in the world you want to eat. Just join us for a good time. Just snuggle up near your radio.
And one of the people who has joined us many times on New Year's Eve out on Michigan Avenue in some of the coldest temperatures.
Why? Because we love him. We send him out in the cold.
He was the chief of our cyber squad for many years. He now has a title that goes on for days, but the short version is...
He is the Assistant Professor of Clinical Medical Education and Director of Educational Technology, Keck School of Medicine of USC, and he's the daddy of our baby. Is that right? All of that stuff now pales compared to the fact that you are the papa of Joseph.
Patrick. Joseph Gibson Crispin, who is upstairs right now, is sleeping between my wife and me. Well, I'm downstairs. But
that's right. Good. Dr. Patrick Crispin joins us, and we have let Patrick grow up on the radio, literally. Right, Patrick?
I was an undergraduate at the University of Alabama. This is back when Alabama didn't have a football team. And called in every Wednesday night and got 14 years. Moved
14
out
years.
Here after I got my master's degree in educational technology, worked at Cal State Fullerton, Cal State Long Beach, was recruited at USC, and you guys have been with me all the way.
Absolutely. And
that was back in the day when every time we talked with you, there was a hum on your phone from Tuscaloosa.
And
there's just something about the Tuscaloosa hum.
Yes. And remember when you called the phone company and it got worse?
Yes.
You called and said, I do a radio show. It goes on for hours. Can you do something? And the next week it was worse.
By the way, speaking of calling people for support, and I know we're going to get to all kinds of tech stuff. Would you mind relating to the class what happened to you yesterday when on one of the hottest days in California, in your part of California, Rancho Cucamonga, your air conditioning goes out, so you call the customer service company, and what happens, Patrick?
So basically, I live in a townhome, and I called the repair people, and of course, because I like technology, I've installed technology throughout the house, and I replaced the thermostat that came with the townhome with a Nest learning thermometer. Absolutely phenomenal because you can use your cell phone to set the temperature. When you leave the house, it actually turns the thermostat off automatically. Fantastic. So I knew when my air conditioner broke yesterday, I knew what was wrong with it. The blower motor in the air conditioner had just burned out because no air was coming out of the vents at all. So I contact the maintenance people and say, yeah, I need you guys to come out. They came out, looked, and said, oh, that's a Nest thermostat. You're going to need to get rid of that and put back the old thermostat. I said, no, I don't. That's not really the problem. The problem is the blower motor's out. No, trust us. You're going to need to put up the old thermostat. It's like, that doesn't make any sense, but fine, whatever, I'll do it. swapped it out. Then they go upstairs into the attic and then come down an hour later. Yep, looks like the blower motor's broken. And it's like,
Now,
I was able to borrow a portable air conditioner, which is sitting in the living room. And it's actually not terribly warm outside here in Los Angeles right now. But
not at 4:24 in the morning. When do you get that turkey going?
Probably in a couple hours, but it's 64 degrees right now, but we're headed above 90 degrees today.
Wow.
So having a portable air conditioner in the same room that we're having the cookout.
Yeah.
Keep the air conditioning.
Because your house may get a little warm because you've been working on this turkey for how many days? Because Patrick on Facebook posted the very beginnings of his start with the Thanksgiving dinner preparations.
Sunday you started, right, Patrick?
Yeah, we started actually making the brine on Sunday. There apple cider and citrus turkey brine with herbs we found, sort of to compete with the can of brine that you can get from Williams-Sonoma. So we found a recipe online a couple of years ago and tried it at Wicked Good Kitchen. And we started the brine on, I guess it was on Sunday, cooled it overnight, and then put the turkey in on basically Monday night and took it out last night. So we brined the turkey for 2 days. We're going to cook it today. It's probably one of the best tasting turkeys you've ever had. It's just fantastic.
How big is the bird?
20 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Hello.
That is a biggie. And Patrick allowed us to experience something that I had never even heard of until we sat down to dinner at his house.
Sous vide.
And I was a little scared because I thought, okay, I have never, ever had a piece of steak that I swear it was like I didn't even need a knife because Patrick had sous vide the steak. Unbelievable.
And it really is. For a long time, sous vide cooking was this fancy thing that you'd only get at the really fancy, fancy restaurants or the high-end steakhouses. A lot of steak places, if you go order a steak, they have it cooking already in the back in something called sous vide, which is French for under pressure. And what that means really is they've put the meat or the protein or the vegetables inside basically a Ziploc bag, and then they put it into a water bath, and they cook the steak or the meat or whatever to the exact temperature it needs to be cooked to. And then when they're done, they just pull it out, throw it on the grill for a few seconds, put the grill marks on, serve it. It serves at the exact perfect temperature, and it's absolutely foolproof cooking. You give up convenience. Sous vide requires you to basically, one, have a sous vide machine, but two, to give up some extra time to be able to cook the steak for an hour at the exact temperature. But if you want to guarantee that your steak is exactly medium rare or medium well, you just say, I want it at this temperature. It cooks it at that particular temperature. You pull it out after, an hour or so, throw it on the grill to get the crust on it and serve it immediately. We actually, when you were here last, we went out to Bouchon Restaurant in Beverly Hills. And
was that fun.
Ticket.
Yes.
And a phenomenal restaurant, Thomas Keller's restaurant. And we ordered the fried chicken. You and I know, if you've ever made fried chicken, fried chicken takes 15, 20, 25 minutes to cook
at least
fully through. We ordered it and had our chicken on our table within 4 or 5 minutes. We're going, how the heck did they do it? And the reason they did it is they had actually cooked the meat of the bird in sous vide. The meat was already cooked. All they did was breaded it, dropped it in the fire to put the crust on, and then served it immediately.
So,
and they were able to just turn it out really quickly.
But again, to prove that Patrick is always cutting edge, that was the first time we'd ever heard of this process of cooking. And I'm not kidding you. I was walking through a JCPenney's in Panama City Beach last week, and there was a sous vide machine. I said, at JCPenney's? Yeah. What?
They are all over the place.
They are.
There is, the famous one right now is called the Anova. And you can actually find that at Target. In fact, Black Friday deal, that normally is $199. They're selling for $129.
Nice.
And then there's also a company that I actually really love. There's a company called Chef Steps out of Seattle, founded with some of the people out of Nathan Myhrvold's lab. And Gabe Newell actually helped pay for the development of it. It's the product they have is the Chef Steps Joule, J-O-U-L-E, as in the unit of heat. They will probably have a Black Friday sales. I don't know what it's going to be. And if you stop by the Michigan Avenue Nordstrom Holiday Pop-Up Store, you can actually pick one up today if you don't want to order it online.
Somebody came in on the end of what we're talking about in the last hour, and they want to know what our address is for Facebook. And you can check us out on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/ Steve and Johnny Show, STEVEANDJOHNNIESHOW. And we would love it if you would like us. We would like it if you would love us. Anyhow, you know, do all of that stuff.
Like me, please.
I think we're, at this point, we're up to 7,491. Let's see if we can break 7,500 by the end of the show.
Let's do it.
Okay, if we can get 9 more likes, that'd be a good thing.
Just think when we were doing Windows 98, and it was like literally a little mouse would be on the treadmill,
yep,
powering our computer, and we thought that was great. And then all of a sudden, one day, I recall this clearly. Patrick Crispin was on the air, and he was talking about updating your computer. And he said, it's like being on the Edens Expressway or being on the Autobahn. We said,
yep.
What? He said, trust me, you're going to love this.
Yep.
Patrick Crispin, Dr. Patrick Crispin, was with us for 14 years on Website Wednesday night. He was the chief of our cyber squad, and now he's out at USC, and he's doing all kinds of good technical stuff. He has a trifold business card, and we only have so much time, so we're going to say, trust me, he knows what he's talking about. Patrick, can I get serious for just a minute and talk about what happened on Tuesday when net neutrality got in the news again? And I know a lot of people, please, folks, if you're listening, do not glaze over, because this will affect you, right, Patrick?
Here's the thing, and there's been a lot of misunderstanding and miscommunication about net neutrality right now. And I will tell you that I'm in favor of net neutrality just off the start. Net neutrality was really never about making people who use more bandwidth pay more. You already do that. Net neutrality is about enabling your ISPs to charge you extra or to limit your speeds if you don't pay extra for that. And let me give you an example of this. Let's say that net neutrality is no longer the rule of the law or the law of the land, and I own a Chicago baseball team. There would be nothing legally to stop me from contacting every internet service provider in Chicago and saying, you know what? I don't like the other team on the other side of town. Can you do me a favor? Anytime they're streaming online or anytime their web page loads, can you slow it down for all of your customers? And mm-hmm. Here's $1 million for you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There is. And from an ISP standpoint, there is absolutely no reason for them to not do it. In fact, it is a win-win. They get $1 million free to basically do nothing but to actually give a worse service. And then for the people who are the opponent's fans, I can charge them some extra money to basically stop getting in their way. So the idea of net neutrality is not saying if you use more internet, you have to pay more. We're already doing that. It's really the ability for us for the internet service providers to create bundles where bundles never existed and to charge you extra for those bundles. And even if you're conservative, imagine this world. The liberal media, and they are liberal media organizations out there who, by the way, own liberal ISPs, and there are no conservative ISPs. There is nothing stopping them from saying, once net neutrality is no longer the law of the land, we apologize, but conservative news sites like FoxNews.com, Breitbart.com, TheHill.com, DrudgeReport.com, those are no longer included in your internet bundle. You can't access those sites anymore. However, if you upgrade to the Patriot bundle,
yep,
for an extra $4.95 a month, we'll give you unfettered access to the sites that you have access to today. And that's what net neutrality really is.
Again, I wonder if everyone in Congress who will be responsible for making these decisions completely understand that.
Well,
and the implications.
I would think two things. A, I think, no, they don't. B, I think those that do are getting some money to vote the way they voted.
Because the consumer, bottom line is, the consumer loses, right, Patrick? That's the bottom line. The consumer stands to lose.
You are going to lose so much because you are going to be gouged for what you're getting today that you're already paying for. It's the equivalent of what the airlines did when they unbundled all the things that they used to do. You used to get an airline ticket that included luggage, that included your boarding pass, that included food and drink, and a seat. And now they're charging for everything. And by the way, you're not paying extra money for to check your luggage because you get better service. This is service you were already getting. They just found a way to charge you for.
This is a classic case.
If net neutrality goes away.
It's a classic case of it's not broken, so let's fix it.
And Patrick, isn't December 14th the date that they're going to have the vote on this proposal, this change?
And there's a five-member FCC commission that's going to vote on it. We know that two are going to vote to repeal net neutrality. Two are going to vote against it. There's a third person who leads conservative. This has turned out to be a very positive thing for the Conservative Party. They really, really want to get rid of net neutrality. They think that the free and open internet has actually been a problem. And the ability to monetize the internet, you know, from a business perspective, if I owned an internet service provider, if I owned a company, oh, I'd be all over this. If I owned a company, if I owned Domino's Pizza, I think this is the greatest thing in the history of the internet because I can sit there and say, you know what? I don't want people being able to go to Luminati's website, or I don't want people being able to go to Domino's or to Pizza Hut. But I tell you what, don't kick those pages off the internet. Just really, really, really slow them down so that when you try to go to my webpage, it's really, really fast and all my competitors are slow. And honestly, if you don't think businesses are going to do that, you'd be stupid not to do that. You can't do it now because it's illegal. But once it's no longer illegal, it is a cash cow for the ISPs. And you don't get any extra service because of this.
But again, I want to go back to something you said earlier. There are no conservative ISPs? Is that what you said?
I don't know of any.
So, and yet this is a win for the Republicans, and yet it would jeopardize the news sites?
I'm going to ask the dumb question. How do we know that there are no conservative ISPs?
Because most of the large internet service providers are owned by the media conglomerates, and most of those media conglomerates are in the eyes of many people in the Republican community, very liberal, and
therefore,
if you look at Time Warner Cable is who owns owns CNN, everybody's going, oh well, you know, clearly, so it's just be aware this is not a liberal or conservative thing. This really is a, can the ISPs charge you extra just to charge you extra?
Yeah.
And not give you any extra services. Basically charge you extra to not degrade your internet service.
Wow. So it's kind of like the old opting out.
Let me give you a different example. Years ago, you used the example of talking about the Kennedy, being on the Kennedy Expressway or being on the Autobahn. Okay, this is being like being on the Kennedy Expressway, only they're going to make it a toll road depending on how far you want to go, and they're not going to give you any improvements.
No, I think it's actually going to be like being on the Kennedy Express lane and saying if you're in a Ford, you have to drive in the slow lanes. If you're in a Mercedes, you get it free.
All right. That's a good comparison.
Yeah. Wow. Do consumers have any, I mean, do we have a voice? Do we have a way to say, we don't like this idea? You know, we got a five-man panel that's going to vote. It looks like it's going to be 3-2.
It's one thing to say, write to your congressperson or call your congressperson, but now we have this five-man panel. How do we communicate with them?
They actually have closed the comment period with the FCC. You can try contacting the members of the commission. Again, two of them we know are going to vote to repeal net neutrality. Two will be in favor. It's that third. And you can do some internet searches out there. There are many different websites that will tell you different places to go and contact. You can contact your congressperson. I do think that this is going to go into the courts, even if it's almost a foregone conclusion. Net neutrality is dead. I think we're going to start seeing this sort of bundled internet, and it's not just bundled internet, it's going to be bundled where you have to pay to access particular sites, or it's going to be slowed down. So you will, to be able to access Netflix high stream HD streaming, you might actually not only have to pay Netflix, your internet service provider might charge you extra, or they will degrade your service to keep you from watching it until you pay.
Okay, so right now I'm bummed out. You hear us say when we're on the radio that you can play WGN Radio by going on your Echo to tune in and just say, play WGN Radio. We're talking electronic tech gifts for this Christmas. A lot of people are going to be shopping over the next few days. Patrick Crispin is with us. Patrick, is the Amazon Echo one of the hottest things this year?
It absolutely is, as is the Google Home. Both of these are sort of wireless smart speakers, sort of personal assistants. You plug them into the wall, connect them to your Wi-Fi, and then you then speak to them. I'm going to make sure not to say the words, the commands that activate them, since people's devices are listening right now.
You mean that would work?
Yeah, well, I'll show you. Okay, Google, gobble, gobble. And now all over Chicago, people's
I love that.
Here you go. Mine's about to do it. So the difference between the Echo and Google Home, the Amazon Echo and Google Home, Amazon Echo is great for Amazon shopping, has tens of thousands of skills. They're kind of like apps. You kind of teach the Echo to do certain things. And there are some premium apps. Those are free if you are a Prime member. Google Home is actually better for Google searches. If you want to search the internet or, you know, ask it questions, and you actually don't need to teach it skills. For example, the people are now calling in angrily because their Google's just gobbled at them. There is also a neat feature if you get multiple ones in the Google Home is broadcast feature, where I can say something out loud and say the name of the device, broadcast, and then the message that I say will play on all the devices in the home.
Oh.
So I can say, blah, 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 blah. Okay, it's time to come to dinner, or blah, 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 blah. Don't make me come up there, or blah, 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 blah. Put those monkeys back to bed. that song has been playing in our house.
I know. It's in your dreams. What does Apple have that's the equivalent of the Echo in the Google Home?
They don't. They're actually not in the game yet. They're going to be releasing something called HomePod next year, but honestly, it's not really a personal assistant. It's a high-end speaker, $350, and it's not. It really has Siri, but it's meant to be tethered to your iPhone. It's not meant to be a standalone, and I think it's too little too late. There's Google Home Max, which is just as good a speaker as we hope. Really, I think if you're looking for a personal assistant and you said, okay, this is kind of silly, I'm not going to get it, why would I do it? The prices have gotten to the point now where it's silly not to. The two biggies out there, again, the Google Mini, the Google Home and the Amazon Echo. Google Home Mini normally sells for $29. Everywhere around the country on Black Friday, it's going to be $29.
It's usually $49 down to $29.
$49. Yep, yeah. $49 is going to drop it to $29. Target and Best Buy, if you buy it, will give you a $10 gift card.
Wow.
So it's going to be then $19. Walmart just announced that if you go and buy a Google Home Mini for $29 from them, they will offer you a future order when you make it through Google Express of $25. In other words, you pay $29, they'll give you a $25 credit.
That's crazy. Like you say, it's just crazy to go there.
So for $4.99, you can get Google Home Mini. Google Home is normally $129, going to be on sale $79, literally everywhere. Pick your favorite store.
Wow.
If you want the small form factor on the Amazon Echo, normally $49, on sale $29 everywhere. The second generation Amazon Echo, the big, tall sort of juice can of a speaker, normally $100, on sale $80 everywhere. And don't forget, if you're going to be buying these things, you can get all these devices, Amazon, at your favorite store. And if you're going to get any of the Amazon products, you can get them at Whole Foods.
At Whole Foods. Wow. We have about 60 seconds, Patrick. I know this is crazy because I'm going to ask you to give us an idea of maybe three or four things that you think will be really hot and that you would like to see under your Christmas tree this year.
Well, fortunately, my wife has provided well. But if you're looking for a really good set of headphones, MassDrop.com is selling the Sennheiser HD600 series headphones, the legendary $1,000 headphone series, for $199.
What?
They're $199 HD6XX. They're their take of the HD650s, which normally are $500 at Amazon. It's the HD6XX, which has, instead of a 10-foot cord, a 6-foot cord, and that's it. That's the only difference. $199.
Oh, Santa!
Okay, I'm writing. Go ahead, Patrick. What else?
Yeah, that is absolutely probably one of the best. If you're going to be getting game consoles, remember that you're going to get the prices that you see on game consoles, the Xbox One X, One S, they're going to be $189 everywhere.